Greetings, friends and new listeners, and welcome to the program. I'm Sharon Ott, thanking you for joining us today on The Sound of Faith, because we know faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. I'm excited to bring you today's message, Jesus Manifesto and Mandate, because it's a true devil-chasing sermon. A manifesto is a public official declaration of a person or group's beliefs, mission, and plan of action. And Jesus said Satan's manifesto is to steal and to kill and to destroy, and the evidence is all around us. But Jesus was manifest to destroy the works of the devil, and he was sent with heaven's authority to carry it out in Jesus' manifesto and mandate.
And in his name shall the Gentiles trust. I just got to throw that out here. And it's not really that important to what we're preaching about, but it came to pass. It really came to pass. You know what I'm talking about? What do we call ourselves? What do we call ourselves? I am a, say it loud, don't be afraid. A Christian. How many call yourself a Christian? Amen. Amen. How many know we're Christians? Amen. And who are we named after? Christ. Jesus Christ, we have literally come to trust in his name. I'm not ashamed to say I'm a Christian. But it was Gentiles who first started calling themselves Christians. Amen. It was Gentiles who first said, hey, how about we call ourselves Christians? That's my manifesto. I'm a Christian. Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. I'm on his team. I'm working with him. I want to join him in destroying the works of the devil. Amen? Okay, let's go on to, where are we? Read verse 22. Then was brought unto him one possessed with a devil, blind and dumb. And he healed him, insomuch that the blind and dumb both spake and saw. And all the people were amazed and said, is not this the son of David? Or is not this the Messiah? Because one of the signs of Messiah was that he would cast the devil out of someone that is dumb. He would loose the dumb tongue. But when the Pharisees heard it, they said, oh, this fellow does not cast out devils, but by Beelzebub, the prince of the devils. And Jesus knew their thoughts and said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation. And every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. And if Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself. How shall then his kingdom stand? And if I by Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do your children cast them out? Therefore they shall be your judges. But if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is come unto you. Now pay attention to verse 29. Or else, how can one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods except he first bind the strong man and then he will spoil his house? Folks, a thief will not break into an empty house. A thief doesn't break into an empty house. There's no treasure there. There's no goods there. He's going to break into a house that he knows has treasures. Amen. A lot of times they're going to go into neighborhoods and they see what people put out in the trash. They put out a big box from a brand new large screen television. Ah, there's a TV in there. Oh, they got a new, DVD player. They got, I see this box and that box. Amen. There are some thieves that their favorite time to burglarize is Christmas. Because they know all the presents are sitting under the tree. Amen? A thief doesn't break into an empty house. He only breaks into a house that has treasures in it. And then this is a word for someone here today. That's why the devil is attacking you. That's why sometimes we come under attack. And we look in our lives and we say, I'm walking in obedience. As far as I know, I'm walking in obedience. My conscience is pure. My conscience is undefiled. What's going on here? The devil wants the treasure in your house. He's the thief. It's what he's come to do. So when he comes under that attack, he wants to come in. But the only way that he can do that, and we're talking spiritually now, the only way that he can do that is to bind us. He's got to bind us first before he can steal my treasure. The devil can't just come and steal your treasure. He cannot just come and steal your Holy Ghost anointing, your Holy Ghost word of God. Oh, the things that you are have in your spirit that you have received from the Holy One, the unction of the Holy Spirit that we received of God that abides in us, teaching us all things, guiding and leading us into all truth, giving us revelation by telling us of things to come. John said in 1 John 2 and 20 and 27, the devil can't just come and take that. He can't take this treasure that we have in our earthen vessel, that it is the excellent power of God, not of us, but of his excellent power in 2 Corinthians 4, 7. He can't just come and take it. We're strong. He's got to bind the strong man. He's got to bind the strong man. Amen. And he doesn't come all at once with this big chain. Because, I mean, when you see the devil coming with a big chain, anybody that has any sense at all is going to rebuke and resist him. He does like he did Samson. Well, let's start off by, just putting my hair in pigtails. And that won't hurt nothing. Well, next time let's put some string in it with the pigtails or whatever, the braids. Amen. Until finally he fooled around enough until what happened? He told the secret, which wasn't just the hair. The hair was nothing but a symbol of his consecration. There was no power in that hair. Because if it was, I'd let mine grow to the ground. It was the symbol of consecration. He broke his consecration. And when they cut it off, and he rose up to shake himself like he'd done so many times before, the spirit was gone. And Samson, that mighty hero, they mocked him, put his eyes out, and bound him. Amen? So Jesus said, you can't steal the treasure of a strong man's house. You've got to bind him. Amen? But Jesus said, my manifesto, my mandate is for this purpose was I manifested to undo, to untie, to unbind those that are bound. Amen. And if you have anything going on in your life that's a bondage, and you know if you do, whether it you are given to a spirit of fear and you allow fear to conquer you and it happens again and again, whether you're given to a spirit of, you might have an addiction. Maybe you keep falling into addiction. You mess up and you should be set free, but you go back and you drink and you take drugs or you get into things that are sinful that the Bible talks about. If you have any bondage at all, amen, Jesus said, I came to loose you, to untie it, and to set you free. Amen? Amen? To loose you from the power of sin. Now we're going to go back to 1 John 3, 8, where we began. Because we saw in verse 5, he said he came to loose you from the power of sin. For this purpose was the Son of Man manifested, to take away our sin. Take it away, not leave us in it. Not leave us in it, but take it away. He was manifested not to save us in our sins, but from our sins. Amen? I don't care what you call yourself. Once saved, always saved, half saved. If you are practicing sin, you are not saved. What does it say? Well, we read it right here. We already read these verses that he that doeth sin is a sinner. He doesn't know God. And Jesus said in John 8, 44, he said to a group of people, you're of your father, the devil, and his lust you will do. For he was a liar and a murderer, and he sins from the very beginning. Amen. So Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil, including sin, because sin is a killer. You know, sin never travels alone. Never. It always travels with death. The Bible says the soul that sinneth, it shall die. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So we left off at verse 8. Let's look at verse 10. In this, the children of God are manifest. Oh, so now we've talked about Satan's manifesto. We've talked about Jesus, the Son of God's manifesto. So now we're going to talk about our manifesto. In this, the children of God, how many are a child of God, meaning you are born again, amen, is manifest. And the children of the devil. How many are children of the devil? Oh, man, I didn't catch anybody. Okay. Well, here's how we tell. The children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil are manifest. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God. Number one, you're in sin. And here's number two. Neither he that loveth not his brother. For this is the message that we heard from the beginning, that we should love one another, not as Cain, who was of that wicked one and slew his brother. And wherefore or why did he slay him? Wherefore he slew he him? Because his own works were evil and his brother's righteous. So marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you, and by inference means want to slay you, want to kill you. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us. We ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. And he goes on and gives some practical things that you can do, talking about if you see a brother in a genuine need, don't close up your bowels of compassion. Okay, that's practical things, but let's stay on the spiritual side. Amen? So, now what is our manifesto? Well, obviously, if we are committing sin and we're not doing righteous, we're a child of the devil. Just go over to chapter 5 and look at verse 18. I love this verse. We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not, but he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one touches him not. And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lies in darkness, or lies in wickedness. Now, if you have the old King James, which I do have, you notice that the word sinneth and keepeth have that TH on it. And what it means is we could take it off and make it smoother for us and just put S on there and say, he that sins, amen, is not begotten of God, and he that is begotten of God keeps himself. But what I want to draw your attention to is whenever you do see that TH on a verb in your King James Version, know that it is saying this is in the present tense, meaning it is a habitual, continual action. And that is very important, especially in some verses such as this. Because it means that whosoever continually and habitually sins, it doesn't mean that you will never, ever sin at all, ever, ever. Because if we back up to chapter 2, he said, my little children, I would that you sin not. But if you do, you have an advocate with the Father, even Jesus Christ, the righteous. But someone who practices sin, someone who continues to live in sin, they are not born again. Amen. They may be religious. They may belong to a denomination or church, but they are not born again, because he that is begotten of God does not commit habitual sin. Amen. But what does he do habitually? What does he do constantly and habitually? He keeps himself. He keeps himself. He keeps himself from what? We read in verse 19. He keeps himself from the world. He keeps himself from the world. And here is the bonus. Because he does that, the wicked one touches him not. And that word touch there is strong. It means to lay hold on something in order to hurt it. in order to bring it harm. Amen. The devil will come against us. He will attack us. But when we keep ourselves from the wickedness of the world and we're not practicing sin, we're practicing righteousness, he cannot hurt us. Amen. Amen. Because we're keeping ourselves from the world. And why wouldn't we want to keep ourselves from the world? The whole world lies in wickedness. There's nothing good in the world. Nothing good. Don't take my word for it, because if you don't like what I'm saying, read the Bible. Jesus said, and it's right here in 1 John, the second chapter, all that is in the world is the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. These are not of God. The world passes away, and the lust thereof. There's nothing good in the world. We're talking about the worldly system. Amen? And it's getting more rotten all the time. It's getting more corrupt all the time. If you're a part of the world, then you are subject to its wickedness. And you're going to be subject to Satan's destruction. Amen? But when you keep yourself from the world, the wicked one touches you not. My friends, there is a line of demarcation from the world and from those who are in Christ. But people blur the lines. Amen? They blur the lines, and when you blur the lines, you run the risk of putting yourself in the devil's territory. And when you get in the devil's territory, you know what his manifesto is: to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Amen? I love Galatians 1:4. Let me quote it to you. Jesus gave himself for us that he might deliver us from this present evil world. That's his manifesto, to deliver us. And our manifesto is, we are the children of God, therefore we love one another. That is the number one thing that we see that identifies us, is that we have love one for another. How do we tell the difference? It's so conspicuous, the difference. One does righteousness, one does wickedness. One walks in the light, one walks in darkness. Amen? And the most conspicuous attribute of the children of God are that they have love one for another. And he contrasted it with Cain, that wicked one who slew his brother. Now, Cain claimed to be righteous. He brought an offering to God. He wasn't an atheist. He wasn't a God hater. He went to church in respect of what God required of them. Obviously, the parents, Adam and Eve, had taught them to build altars and bring sacrifice to God. He brought a sacrifice to God. Amen? But he had envy and wickedness and hatred in his heart until he slew his own brother. Amen? And he calls it the spirit. A spirit of wickedness. It's a spirit of Cain. It's a spirit of violence. It's a spirit of hatred. It's a spirit of murder. Amen. Amen? Amen? He said that was what the people of the world do. But he said, marvel not if the world hates you. Jesus said in John the 15th chapter, because it hates me. So don't you be surprised if the world hates you, because the world hates me. And if the world hated me, it's going to hate you. Here's what I don't understand. I don't understand this. I don't understand how some Christians will align themselves and stand with unbelievers of the world and stand against fellow believers. How many understood what I just said? I don't understand that. How can a child of God align themselves with the world and the things that the world stands for when the whole world lies in wickedness? We know we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. Satan's manifesto is seen in Cain. It's a spirit of hatred and violence and murder. It's unleashed in our world today. I mean, every day you expect to hear what will be the newest report of a terror attack. I mean, we're here, they're coming so much now that we can't even keep them all straight. Amen? We stand against death. Satan came to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus came that we might have life. He's the author of life. We stand with life. We stand against death. I don't care how it manifests itself. Gang banging out in the streets. Racism. Terrorism. Abortion. No Christian should ever have an abortion. Amen. That's the devil's manifesto. Not God's. So you made a mistake. And now you feel like you got this big problem. Amen. You're going to add sin to sin and have an abortion. God's talking to somebody, because I wasn't planning on saying this. Now, I'm not saying somebody here's had one, going to have one, but you might know someone who does. Amen. Amen? Because that is Satan's manifesto. And how anybody, a Christian, can have an abortion or support those who are for abortion. Amen? Amen. That is Satan's manifesto. Amen. To snuff lives out, to kill, and to destroy. We stand for life. Amen. Jesus came to seek and save that which was lost. There's already a couple states in our country up in the Northwest that they're already now passed legislation for euthanizing old people. And then, you know, they'll say this is compassionate. This person is in the last stages of cancer and they don't want to, you know, go through chemo or whatever. They would just like to go peacefully. How long do you think it'll take for somebody to abuse that? How long do you think it'll take from unscrupulous people who may want to get their hands on that person's money? Who maybe don't want to pay for them to have medical treatment because that's less money they'll get. How long do you think it'll take? Because Satan is the author of death. Any death comes from Satan. How long do you think it'll be before that's already happened in European countries where they've had it for a long time? It's already happening where they're pressuring people. I saw one where a woman was 90 years old and they're pressuring her to be euthanized, and she doesn't have a terminal illness. She has, I forget what it is. It's, you know, like a something wrong that gives her pain in her body, but she's not dying from it. And they're pressuring her, you need to just be euthanized. You see, that's Satan's agenda. We've got to stand for life, and we've got to stand loudly and boldly and clearly. And if you have made a mistake in the past and had an abortion, it's under the blood. Don't feel guilty. It's under the blood. Don't let the devil dig it up. It's not the unpardonable sin. But for the love of heaven, do not support abortion now. There's no gray line. There's no gray part. It's either you're for life or you're for death. There is no in between. God said in Ezekiel, the 16th chapter, I passed by, I saw you laying on the ground, polluted in your blood. No one cared for you. No one cut your navel. No one washed off the stuff off your body. And I saw you dying, and I said, live. I said, live. I said, live. God says, live. The devil says, he's going to kill you. And if you serve him, he'll make good on his promise. He'll make good on his promise. Amen. God wants us to stand for life. He's come that we might have life, and that more abundantly. Amen. And we've got to stand boldly against the powers of darkness.
Amen. What a devil-chasing sermon, Jesus manifesto and mandate. Jesus said of Satan, the thief is come but to steal and to kill and to destroy. This is his one and only agenda, and he is working in great wrath, knowing his time is short. 1 John 3:8 tells us what Jesus' manifesto is. For this purpose was the Son of God manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil. This means to undo. Jesus was manifest to loose us from the power of sin, bondage, sickness, torment, and to take back what the devil stole from us, to destroy the works of the destroyer. Because he was sent by his Father with heaven's authority, it was his mandate, and he went forth implementing his mission by the anointing upon the authority. The first time he walked into a synagogue, the demons in a man cried out, "Let us alone, thou Jesus of Nazareth. Are you come to destroy us?" The answer is yes. Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. You need to add this message, Jesus' manifesto and mandate, to your spiritual library. Order SK189 on CD for a love gift of $10 or more for the radio ministry. Mail to Sound of Faith, P.O. Box 1744, Baltimore, Maryland, 21203. Or go online to soundoffaith.org, where you may also order on MP3s. But to order by mail, send your minimum love gift of $10 to P.O. Box 1744, Baltimore, Maryland, 21203. Request SK 189 for Jesus' manifesto and mandate.